Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Joel Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend. Dr. Dave Stoop, and I hope that you're glad that they're on, because I'm always glad when you guys are in the studio, and I'm in the studio in Laguna, and we got a great day planned for you. We're going to take phone calls. Isn't that something? That's what we do every day.
That's something.
That's amazing.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, and that's what we love to do.
Because you never know what you're going to get.
That's right. And those of you watching on NRB Network, you might be thinking, well, they don't even act like they're on TV. Well, no. It's just a radio show that we broadcast on television.
Somebody asked me one time, you know, I was answering a bunch of questions, said, what do you do to get ready for people throwing these questions at you? I said, all these years of radio, you don't know what you're going
to
get.
Well, you know, it started with when we used to do Monday Night Solutions, and we'd open it up for 30 minutes, and the questions were unbelievable.
Open mic. Shameless open mic. Open mic.
Oh, anyway. My. It sure prepared us for shameless open mic radio.
That's
and
right.
Steve,
it is shameless.
Steve just knows how to do it.
Steve's a pro.
Or he's shameless. On tv.newlife.com, you got John and Henry answering a question. What do you do when your boss makes a big mistake? Do you complain, blame? John, remember you and Henry answering that question together for the television network? What do you do when you're – well, anyway, it's on there.
What was the answer?
And I think it was –
That's a typical response, because I've been asked that, reminded of that, and I thought, you know, why parents yell at our kids, you know, and I thought, what did I say about that?
I know the answer was you come alongside, you support, you tell them you want to help them, and you know, you kind of become a resource to them because they've got pressure on them. You ally with them.
Yeah, and you try not to laugh at them. That is never helpful. That's just
what Henry added to the
question.
All right. Hey, let's go over here to Lori from Colorado Springs, Colorado, listening on KGFT. Hey there. How you doing?
Oh, boy. I'm really, really nervous.
Well, we don't want you to be.
We want to be a safe place, Lori.
So how can we help?
I'm gonna ask a question first. I don't know, or put it out there, I don't know how to tell a family friend in the church that I don't want him in my life anymore. He came into my this is a 17 year older man than me.
Mm-hmm.
Been in the church all his life, and he came into my life about 7 years ago. We were at a church singing function.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really even take note of him, but he obviously did me, and out of the blue started writing me love letters, and it went on and on for the summer. And I finally wrote to him and told him, please stop, or I'm going to have to go to the elders. This is way out of hand.
Yeah. And did he stop?
He quit for a few months, and then it slowly started up again.
Hmm. Okay.
And he'd never, like at church, he'd never even acknowledge me, like he didn't know me, but yet these letters would go on.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I had a boyfriend at the time, and bipolar boyfriend, by the way. Horrible. And so then that goes on and on. Then he gets in really good friends with my oldest daughter and her husband.
Oh, dear.
He knows them really well. Let's put another clinker in there.
Okay.
He's
wiggled.
Okay.
So you want to know how to say goodbye, because you've got a bipolar guy, and we're going to help you with that, all right?
I don't have a bipolar guy.
Oh, no more?
Yet.
No more.
X.
No more. Okay. All right. So we're going to help you with that. It's a tough one. But we're going to get you through it. We got some good answers here. You're listening to New Life Live. If you need some help, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Go to newlife.com. And we love helping people, especially with every man's battle, because, you know, it's a big, huge problem. Huge problem. And we've got the answer at 1-800-NEW-LIFE for sexual integrity. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I can't tell you how excited we are about New Life Television. It's an internet television channel at tv.newlife.com. Check it out. You'll see that there's exclusive content, content that we really don't have time to get into here on our radio program. We go down deep and we try to provide you the foundations of the stuff that we know and the stuff that we like to share with you. There's a day on biblical integration, in the news, life recovery, and it's only $9.95 a month, and that supports this ministry. It's an in-depth attempt to connect with you deeper and provide you with a stronger foundation of biblical wisdom from God's Word. Check it out, tv.newlife.com, tv.newlife.com.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we're back. Now, Lori,
yes.
We want to give you some help on how do you say in a way and then follow through that eliminates somebody from your life. John, you have a thought?
Well, Laura, you did say I'm going to call the elders. Did you follow through?
No, that was some years ago. This has gone on for years. It's really bad.
Why didn't you follow through?
Because I didn't want to hurt his feelings. I have a problem with that.
Well,
I didn't want to hurt his feelings.
Laura,
I didn't want the church, because he's well known. I didn't want the church to look at him as a bad person.
Hey, Laura.
Yeah.
And the way that God constructed life and growth is that every growth move will cost us something. You know, if I want to be healthy, I can't eat, you know, Oreos. If I want to have prayer, I can't always watch TV, right? And you're going to have to decide if not hurting his feelings is more important than your sanity.
Right.
It's just a
choice.
It seems like she's already decided that it's not.
Or maybe you didn't think
it
about
more important.
But your behavior, is saying that. So are you willing to hurt his feelings for your sanity and probably for some consequences for him? Because if you tell us, no, I've got to not hurt him at all costs, we really can't help you. So are you willing to?
I know that, and I got to tell you something. He has literally given me, I mean, I've been a single mom for 14 years. He has literally given me thousands of dollars. He has given me a new car, a brand new car.
Oh, you didn't tell us all that.
Yes, he's taken me on trips, all kinds of crazy things. And I feel like I'm just indebted to him. And I'm a puppet on a string. He's told me over and over that him and I will probably never find a suitable mate for us because our standards are so high.
Are you sexually involved with him?
One for me. No, I'm not even attracted to him. He's little and small and old and wrinkly and gross and no.
But you give him these messages by going on trips with him and accepting money that
I thought, why do I do that? And I thought, I've told him it's just a friendship because he knows I like to hike, so we hike a lot. And that's really cool, you know.
When's the last time you were with him?
Well, thankfully, he's moved away to another state. He's been gone for 5 months now.
Uh-huh.
But he continues sending me money and love letters and love emails.
Well, the easy answer, Laurie, is to send everything back.
Don't open them.
And don't open them. And see, there's a certain type of they're sort of a dependent predator in a way. There's a certain type that if you just keep sending everything back and don't respond to any text, emails, blah, 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 kind of a passive move like that, after a while, you know, sometimes it'll take, you know, 6 months or 8 months, they just stop sending it and they look for somebody else to take advantage of. So one way is that. And the other is to say, if you don't stop doing this, I'll, you know, tell people or whatever. But you might want to just consider not ever answering a text, email, and sending everything back postpaid, because they're looking for somebody, and when you cut that off, they just kind of go other places. Like putting a big, it's like putting a big lock on your house. You know, if somebody with a cannon wanted to come get your house, they could blow the lock open. But that lock slows people down enough to go to your neighbor's house.
Okay, I have a really another really bad clinker in here. So he buys me this car 2 years ago, but weird, it's not in my name, it's in his name. He pays all the insurance, all the maintenance.
Okay, so you have
everything.
To, if you don't want him in your life, then that you have work. Some hard decisions to make.
Then I have no car.
Okay, so you have to solve the car problem. And then you have to tell him, come get the car.
So you're financially dependent on the man.
Yeah, and then my tax person a couple years ago forgot to put in my child support maintenance. So now here it is. Last year, the IRS comes back, and I owe thousands of dollars. So
he's paying that.
He says, well, I'll take care of all that. I'm like,
all right.
Oh, my gosh, this is thousands of dollars.
Lori, you've gotten yourself into
a bad pickle.
Into a mess. It's not easily going to be taken care of. It's going to take one little good decision at a time to unwind it, okay? So if you were calling and we're
I'm not even sure she can hear us right now.
Yeah.
Lori, are you able? No. Feelings are feelings. If you can't hear us, we're just going to be with you. Or can you hear our advice or not? Okay. I just want to check in.
So you've got to come to a very difficult place, Lori. You know, because fortunately, it hasn't gone to the point of anything physical, and so it's.
He wanted to touch my leg. I don't want you to touch my leg. I don't want to hug you. Oh, you don't like men? Yes, I do. I don't like you.
But if that had happened, you'd have a bigger hurdle to climb. This is still going to be difficult. Now, you know, we say this all the time. You got to get a couple ladies who are going to hold you accountable, who's going to love you and not judge you, and just say, you know, they don't need to know all the details. They just need to know what you're going to do. And what you're going to do is what Steve and John have already suggested. You're going to send things back. You're going to give him back the car. You're going to work out a way to get a car. As long as you're obligated to him, you're caught. And you've got to break that obligation.
Okay. So that means Dave Ramsey courses. We love Dave Ramsey. That means getting with somebody in your church that can help you to have a payment plan. In other words, if he died tomorrow, you know, you didn't have him as a source of financial help, you would do certain things with the people you... Are you okay?
I am. I'm just running out of my mind. What am I going to do? I mean, I'm listening to you all, but I, you know, being divorced 14 years and 5 kids still to raise, and I'm down to just one now. I'm just down to the last one. She's already graduated. But
I understand.
I've always, since I've been divorced,
can you hear my words right now?
Yeah.
Okay. The most important takeaway, Lori, is that God has other sources of help besides this man. He has other people that can help with money and taxes and cars, and there's healthy churches and there's healthy systems in the community. So pretend like he is no longer around and call people, and we can find healthy churches around if it'll help. But let's get him off as the only one. I think you're doing what's called catastrophic thinking without him I'm destitute. We don't know that. There may be lots and lots of other resources. So let's get you out of dependence on him into dependence on God and his people and the people that would love you.
And there's got to be a process.
Yes.
And it may begin with getting the job. It may begin, you don't jump into the deep end of the pool. You get in and you begin to work the process that's leading to where you want to get to, which is freedom.
And you can transition into this.
And
that's good.
He's made life.
All this makes sense, and yes, I will do this. But and so it all makes sense. But now I get finally. I waited like a whole year and a half, no boyfriends, and this man just came into my life, and it's the first man ever in my whole life that didn't want sex before marriage.
Yeah.
He knows God.
Okay.
And I'm like, wow.
Well, that's a good
Lori,
sign.
Here's the thing, you've gotten yourself into a complicated situation that doesn't have a quick fix answer. And I think if just like
we there can't, are answers.
There are answers, and he's made life easy for you. And by taking the appropriate action, you're going to make life tough for yourself. But it's going to get you to a place where you're not overwhelmed or burdened, and you're going to feel good about yourself. But it's mm-hmm. going to be a process. Hold on. We're going to start that process. I think you need somebody to walk right alongside you there.
Well, listen to a copy of God Will Make a Way.
We'll do that.
About these situations.
God Will Make a Way coming your way. All right. Let's go to Samantha from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. WFIL is the station. Hello, Samantha. How are you?
Hello. I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. What's going on in your life today?
My husband is friends, quotes, with another woman, and every time I try to tell him, it makes me uncomfortable. He turns it around on me. Well, we're just friends. It's just talking, and we have things in common. And why are you getting upset? There's no reason to get upset. And he just dismisses me. And this has been going on for a year.
So he doesn't really care to hear about your sensitivity.
No,
in that area.
Be friends, and that's it. Uh-huh. He wants to be friends with her no matter what I say.
Okay.
Is this a business associate?
They work together. She doesn't work where he is now anymore, but every night at home, he's on the computer texting, on the phone texting, while I sit in the other room with our kids and watch TV and hope that he comes out and spends time with us.
Texting her?
Texting her, yeah. And he's, you know, oh, we're just talking about recipes. We're just talking about stuff we have in common. Everything he says makes it all innocent, and it's my problem.
Well, it's your problem because he's not doing it with you. I mean, he's got a pseudo wife. It sounds like that. If they're talking about recipes and things like that,
Have you talked with her about how you feel about this recipe for disaster?
she even comes over, and she talks with our kids.
Have you told her how you feel about that? Have you told her how you feel about that?
No, I'm scared.
Uh-huh.
What are you scared of?
Upsetting my husband.
What would be? I mean, that's kind of marriage. So why are you scared of upsetting your husband? People do that all the time.
Because I'm afraid that he would blame me if she said we can't be friends anymore, and he would be pissed off with me for the rest of our life.
And he would pick her over you.
Honestly, I don't think he would.
Okay.
But
look at what happened. That you're predicting an outcome that may not be there. In fact, what he might do is be quite upset with you for a while, and then, without her, see that he needs to move closer to you. You don't know how God might be working in his life. But I do think I like to see people err on the side of presenting truth to the offending party. Do you know that you're in the other room with my husband talking about recipes, and I'm in the other room watching television with our children, and he's not there with them or with me, and I don't think you understand the damage that it's causing.
I have so wanted to do that.
Well, I think you're on the right track when you want to do that, but you have to be willing for him to be upset with you. So you have to have the support of other women that are going to help walk through that tough time. But let's see if John and Dave might be thinking of something a little different.
I'm thinking that if you had some women friends that you could tell them to tell this to, they would rally to your support. I don't think
what you're
wanting is unreasonable. I think it's really very much what it is, what marriage is all about.
Yeah. Samantha, did you have a critical parent in your background?
I'm sorry?
Did you have a critical parent in your background?
My mom's a little heavy, overhand, you know.
All right, because you're being hijacked by the fear that he'll be angry and resentful for the rest of y'all's marriage, which is, like Steve said, that's possible. But, you know, even if that were the case, we're never supposed to be hijacked to do the right thing because somebody might be upset for 40 years with us. So something in you is being hijacked from sitting down and being extremely direct with your husband about what this is doing to your marriage and your kids. So I
have been, and it doesn't do anything.
Well, I wonder what would happen if you said to your husband, I'm going to have a talk with her, and I'm just letting you know that I'm not happy with this, and I'm going to talk to her about it.
Yeah, you got to up your game here. All he's got to do is kind of get mad at you, and you quiet down for a while, and so he's got like this fantasy thing with recipe lady, and he's got a wife. He just kind of weathers your storm. We're going to send you boundaries in marriage, and it has pretty explicit consequences for when a spouse of either gender is out of control, and I love Dave's idea, too. In other words, you got to up your game beyond complaining. He's not responding. Beyond vulnerability, he's not responding to that. When people don't take complaining and responsibility, you have to go to actions. So we'll give you the keys on that.
All right. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, if you're stuck, if you've gotten yourself in a mess and nobody's listening, especially the husband or the wife, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We want to help you.
Before coming to Healing is a Choice, I was completely worn out.
Coming here was an empty shell.
I don't want people to think that you have to be just desperate to come. It's for people who don't know what to do next.
To open up to 8 different strangers was actually a relief. And so much got off my shoulders. And I feel so much lighter now. And I feel so much better. And I feel like I can give so much more to other people. And I don't feel ashamed. And I don't feel like I'm damaged goods.
I have learned that asking for help and being vulnerable can be safe.
The Healing is a Choice weekend is coming up April 17th through the 19th in San Jose. To register or to find out more, call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I leave here with hope.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEWLIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop. And if you are spending time sharing recipes with another person that you're not married to, you might want to check out the little program that Marilyn Meeberg and I did on same-sex relationships in a marriage. And there we said some things that over 130,000 people have watched that program.
Wow.
So you might just check that out at tv.newlife.com. It's a great place to find over 700 programs. That's what my notes say, over 700 programs on different things, including John and Henry's presentation on what do you do when your boss makes a big old mistake. And then later today, you can find on there a question that Sherry and I answer. Hey, how do I find an accountability group? Well, you know, finding one's one thing. Being accountable in it, that's something else. Let's go to Janice.
That's not fun.
Yeah. Let's go to Janice, Louisville, Kentucky, WFIA. Hello there.
Oh, hey. How are you guys?
Excellent.
Hey, Janice.
How are you, though?
I'm okay. I have listened to you guys for so long. I feel like I really wish I'd have you here in my living room to be able to have a conversation, because I feel like I'd love to be a personal friend.
Yeah, we could share recipes and stuff like that. How can we help you?
Well, I have, over the years, encountered a lot of challenges in, you know, in our family life. And so I could ask you lots of different questions, but you guys have helped a tremendous amount. I've read a lot of your writing, but I have not heard really anybody give too much advice on adult children dealing with their elderly and aging parents.
Okay.
So that's the source of my question today. My mother is 83, and she's a type 1 diabetic. She also has problems with her thyroid. And she is also a Christian and has for many years attended a charismatic group that has given her a lot of support in terms of believing for her healing so that she does not any longer have to take any of her medicine. And to this point, like after 30 years, she so far continues to suffer problems from those illnesses and others, and yet she does not want to take her medicine.
Does she take it?
Right now, since this past summer, she's decided she doesn't need her thyroid medicine. I'm very concerned because I know that that then affects a tremendous number of
people. Yeah, that can be dangerous at her age.
All right, so the question for us would be...
I'm sorry?
What would the question be for us?
Well, do my sisters and I have responsibility? I mean, we feel bad. She's very upset many days. And we feel bad. She doesn't live a very good quality of life. But she doesn't listen to any reasonable advice, and she continues along the path that I described.
Okay.
She lives by herself. She's out of town from my sisters and I, and it's hard for us to watch. She looks self-destructive. And so we want to know, do we have responsibility to go against her will, to intervene, to maybe improve things for
her? What would that be?
I don't... I take control of her, like get a power of attorney and a health care directive, maybe put her in a mental institution. I mean, I'm not exactly sure. I'd really love to know what you guys would do if this was your mother.
Well, first of all, I would ask, which is worse? She's 83. Is it worse for her to live independently without thyroid medication, or is it worse for her to live dependently in an institution?
I think she would choose the former, not the latter.
Well, yeah. But the question would be, which is going to produce the worse meltdown, you know, no thyroid meds or the reality that's there? And if you choose institution, then you move toward whatever it takes to get her there.
Well, you might have an uphill battle there. If she's of sound mind but just sort of stubborn and in denial,
you're not
going to get anybody, no attorney, no judge, nobody's going to give you power of attorney if your mom's just of sound mind. The best thing you can do if you're really concerned is to see if you can have her evaluated, and if she sounds like she sounds, she'll probably say no, and then you would probably call the authorities and say, can you take a look? But they'll probably say there's not enough evidence. She's just would be what we would call medically treatment resistant. But that's not not of sound mind. So I think you've got I just don't think you have a case here.
No, I think maybe what you do is up the ante in terms of your conversations with her, and even say, you know, I'm not sure why you want to destroy yourself. This is like a form of self punishment, and you know, it makes us think that, you know, you don't want to be around anymore, and guilt her into taking it.
Well,
I don't know if that would work.
She won't, and she resists us talking with her about.
Then you're vulnerable. Then you stay vulnerable. We love you. We're so scared because we love our mom, and you're very vulnerable with you, and how it's going to affect how you feel. And then you're nice to her, and if her health continues to decline, you keep reminding her, and that's kind of what you do with a person who's not crazy.
Okay, right. All right. So,
okay. So,
other than talking with her, then,
well,
I mean, as long as we maintain contact with her,
oh, yeah,
we are morally responsible toward her.
Well, you want to do... You want to do the best you can with what you've got to work
to her, but not for her. We're all responsible to people, but not for people, unless there are dependent children or people with guardianship over.
She makes her own decisions.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
I was working at a Christian school for 19 years, and somebody saw something on my computer. It was a battle that I'd had all my life.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I believed that I could do it on my own. I just believed if I tried hard enough and pulled myself up hard enough by my bootstraps, I could do it. I had to get help.
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
I heard about Every Man's Battle. I'd read the book, but I decided I'm going to look up that 800 number, and I called. I said, if I can get on a plane, can I come? That afternoon, I was on an airplane.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Hearing that I needed to be in community was very helpful, but probably the single most helpful thing was to realize that I wasn't the weirdest guy on the planet, and it was just life-changing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, we're back. Steve Arterburn here with two great friends. We've been around for a long time, and we plan to be around for a longer time. Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop. You can find both of their work at tv.newlife.com. And it's a great place. I'm on TV today. Look at this. Got my wires crossed there. It's a great place.
This is great TV.
This is Steve.
What you need to be doing to get your act together just the way my act
it
is.
It feels
here.
Like that the cords and cables of life are just snaring you.
That's yes. Right.
We want to help.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you for that. All right, let's go to Louisville, Kentucky to talk to Karen. And if you're on the line, you know, we've got another program after this, so we'll try. I think we can get everybody's call. Karen, Louisville, WFIA, how you doing?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you. Thanks so much for taking my call.
What's going on?
You know, it's probably going to sound really weird, but I have a very long-time friend who just recently told me that she has borderline personality disorder.
Yeah.
And I just need to know how to deal with that, because we've come to a place where right now we're not really talking. She's always called the shots in the relationship, our friendship, but and I never really knew what was wrong. I mean, I knew she was strong-willed. I don't know. I just want to be a better friend, and I don't know how to deal with all the stuff that's going on.
Okay.
Well, I would ignore the diagnosis.
Yeah. That's not helpful.
It doesn't help a bit.
Well, that's the...
Deal with the problems in the relationship that are bugging you, but don't get stuck on the diagnosis. Like the control, and you can't speak up, and it goes her way. Just keep dealing with that.
Just, you have an eccentric friend kind of thing, and she's got some unique proclivities and habits, and so just... You know, you just hang in there with her and try to do the best you can. But sometimes
don't get overwhelmed by this word.
Yeah, sometimes people see that diagnosis and they think, "Ooh, you know, that's just scary." But She's the same difficult
some
person.
Some people with borderline run companies and run countries and run churches, and it's a it's
oh, wow.
just yeah. I mean, it's not like any kind of kiss of death. It's just a condition.
And there are very, very severe borderline personalities that are end up in an emergency room because they commit suicide every week. And then there's
well,
less
you probably
severe.
Can't commit suicide
yeah,
every week.
Yeah, well, you probably just do that one time.
One time, probably.
The only yeah. purpose of that diagnosis is for somebody in a counseling setting yeah. to be treating them. It has nothing to do with how you relate to them as a friend
yeah.
or anything.
Don't get scared by that.
No, ignore it.
How's that?
So then. Well, I mean, that's, yeah, that sounds great. She, she just brought up recently, she sent me a copy of a couple pages from this book that she's been reading. I don't know who gave it to, or maybe one of her counselors about Love You, Hate You, or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of good books about it. Just say, yeah. So I hope your counselor's helping you. Anyway, about that time where I wanted to go to eat Mexican food and you said it had to be Chinese, can we talk about that a minute, Sally?
And here's the thing. There are very few people that therapists think can handle the diagnosis. And so, obviously, her therapist thinks that she could handle it. And right. that she yeah. and she's reading books about it, and she's sharing it with other people. That's actually a pretty healthy sign yeah, there, you know?
The most I would do is say, what does that mean to you? How is that helpful to you to understand those things?
There you go.
Yeah. And just have it as a conversation thing. But
all right.
don't let it intimidate you at all.
No. Don't do that. She needs you.
Be a good friend to her.
Yeah, you guys can be really, really
set
good
some
friends.
Good limits. Be honest.
All right. Now, let me tell you about the workshops coming up. Healing is a Choice and the Marriage Solution Weekend is April the 17th in San Jose. The early bird discount is still available. And, you know, that early bird dies in just a couple of weeks. So you want to be sure you take advantage of that. And then, also, we're going to Ireland. And February 28th is the end of our early bird there, which is a $200 discount per person. Dave, being a citizen of Ireland, will be going. Milan,
you're a citizen?
Yeah, I have a passport and everything.
Oh, my gosh.
I tell you, it's my favorite country now. I can't get over how amazing it is. India was my favorite country before this, but now Ireland has supplanted it somewhat. And then also, don't forget, we got Every Man's Battle, March the 6th through the 8th in Dallas. What an opportunity for you as a man to step up and become a man of integrity. You find out about all that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. Now, how about we talk to Ann from Albany, New York. Ann is calling, listening on WHAZ. Ann, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Well, what's going on?
Okay, I'm going to say the question first, and I wrote it down and it might be too long, but how do I resolve a disagreement with my husband on whether or not to allow his father to have contact with our children?
Why wouldn't you want his father to have contact with the children?
Well, our kids are young, 4 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
About five years ago, it was brought to the attention of the family that my father-in-law sexually abused my niece. Now, she brought it out in counseling when she was 18,
mm-hmm.
5 years ago.
All right.
But it happened to her when she was 8 years old.
And so how did the authorities deal with that?
It was never brought to the authorities. At the time that it, whatever happened, she didn't tell her parents everything, I guess, and when she turned 18 and went to counseling, I guess it came out that more happened than what she told her parents about.
And okay. And so what did the counselor, when she told the therapist, what did they do about the problem?
I don't know.
Well, the counselor certainly reported it because they're required to. So it's been reported.
Yeah.
But you don't know what was done, if he was...
Mm-mm. Oh, no, nothing was done.
Well, let me tell you.
So all I know is that my niece told us that, or my niece's mother told us that way more happened than what anybody thought at the time, and that the girl's been going through counseling for it.
Okay. I'm just going to jump out and say, seeing a grandfather every now and then for a couple hours is one thing. Ever being left alone with that person under any circumstance is something totally different. And
right.
I could live with, hey, we're going to go to the Olive Garden and have lunch with Grandpa. sometime, you know, every 3 months mm-hmm. or so. But I would never, under any circumstance, mm-hmm. ever leave my yeah. children alone with him or any other man that I don't know their personal background.
That's the agreement I would make with your husband, is that we can see him, but it's always, we are always present.
And public.
And it's
present,
in a public place.
Not in our house where, you know, just, there's just mm-hmm. no chance mm-hmm. that anything can. John, your thoughts?
Well, the only thing I would add would be that if he has, you know, if the authorities have done what the authorities do and he's been made accountable and he goes through the counseling process and, you know, does the work, then that was a different situation. Now there's intervention on a professional level to help him get healed and be safe. But you're saying nothing's happened. So until there's somebody outside the system who is having him deal with things, I think you're making the right choice to say to your husband, we've got to limit things.
Okay.
The guy has never had any accountability.
Now, let me clarify something. So if it was your child and he had a history and he had been through therapy, would you leave a child alone with that reality?
If the therapy works and it's been validated that there is a cure and that he's safe and that sort of thing, I mean, that's what therapy's for. Now, you've got to be really strict about what therapy does, and if it's sort of like, well, he just killed some time.
It'd be kind of hard to validate that or verify
well,
that.
Can I just interject here that with this particular case, that's never going to happen. He's 82 years old, and he also has some other mental issues, I'm sure, that are undiagnosed, and he's...
Yeah, then you have to have a lot of
limitations. ...counseling with his wife, and okay. my husband is just being... made to feel really guilty about not having contact with his dad, and that's not the only reason that we haven't had contact with him. It's my main reason, but my husband has a lot of other reasons dealing with, you know, mental and emotional abuse that his dad's done in his life.
Yeah.
And,
well, but
know.
In terms of the of what he did to his niece, you know, if you want to, if he wants to have contact with his dad. What we're saying is it should always be in the public and it should always be supervised. And you don't need to be afraid of that. That's going to
consider him untreated and he's
and,
not
and you gotta
that's not safe
cuz
you don't know. Right.
Yeah. I'm declaring that I had the right answer. That it's one thing to go have lunch with somebody. It's another thing to cut them off totally or the other extreme. Hey, here are the kids, we're going to go to a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Just got to be wise, and sometimes the extremes are easier than trying to come up with something that works.
And if he'd been arrested and then was released, there would have been a long period of time where there'd be supervised visitation.
Yeah,
say if it had been his own kid,
right,
and or a stepkid. And so that's what you're doing. You're doing supervised visitation in a public place, lunches, and at least your kids know who Grandpa was before he dies.
Yeah. All right, I'm glad you called, and let me send you a copy of our Spiritual Renewal Bible. I think you'll like it.
I want to thank my husband for bringing me here.
The New Life Marriage Weekend is coming to San Jose April 17th through the 19th.
We are leaving here as new people and a new couple, I think truly with hope for the future.
Join Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
Doctors Dave and Jan Stoop.
We're going to talk about the degrees of love and different ways that we love. And what is it that destroys our love? And then how do you repair love when it's broken?
And Steve Artiber.
And I'm going to be talking about the 7 things that you need to stop right now, and the 7 things you need to start doing in your marriage, and the 7 minutes that will matter the most for the future of your relationship.
To register or to find out more, call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop. If you're on the line, please hold on. We will most likely, and I guarantee you, we'll get to your call in this next program we're going to do right after this. But if you need somebody, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we need you. And if you will support this ministry, join Club New Life. Club New Life will send you a Life Recovery Bible. But a gift of any kind will give you the insights that we have from New Life TV. We've got all these insights that we've put together on stress, and it's a powerful CD. We'll get that to you. So
insights and skills and tips too.
We are the tip people. We've got Dr. Keffer and Dr. Amen on stress in the brain. We've got
tip
Dave
people on tap.
We got Dave Stoop talking about not all stress is bad. All sorts of good stuff there. Now let's go to Renee from Placer County, California, listening online. And let's see what's going on in the life of Renee today. Hi, Renee.
Hi, kids. How you doing today?
We're all right.
You're touching our inner children, Renee.
Oh, bless you.
Yes, Renee. How are you? What could we do for you? And thanks for addressing my inner child. Who needs spanking on a regular basis.
All right. Don't we all?
Yeah.
I called you a few months ago and started on Healing as a Choice, and the nearest counselor was like 3 hours away, and I have some answers. It's almost like God is like answering some things on my dreams that I'm not getting, but I kind of get stuck on that point of connection.
Mm-hmm. Which is only the most important choice that you make, because I'm going to go from disconnection to connection.
I'm one of those multi-layered people. I became a member of New Life TV, and I'm one of those multi-layered people. I went through 25 years of spiritual and physical and sexual abuse off and on.
I'm so sorry.
And I thought the worst of the PTSD was over 30 years ago, but every 5 to 8 years, under something really, really crappy happens in extreme stress, and then these triggers happen, and then I start having really bad problems. It's less in intensity each time it happens.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the spiritual abuse, I'll give a little background. My grandmother was into witchcraft and the occult, and she had a really hard time with me being a Christian. And I've always known in my heart that Jesus was the right way, and that all that stuff was diamond all the way back when I was just an itty bitty kid.
Yeah.
And God has always had His hand on my life.
Okay.
But she used to call up and say she was sending like her spiritual messengers and tell me to make sure if they were good or bad when they came. And my little brother and I used to actually believe that we were seeing demons when we were little.
Yeah.
And so now things happen. It starts getting, disconcerting, because you start thinking, because really bad stuff would happen when she would do that. I'd start thinking, well, is this demons making the bad stuff happen? Or is it, the PTSD coming back? I've tried to go to the church over the years. It's like I said, it's been a 30-year journey, and I believe it is a journey. The first few times it was understandable. The church thought I was demon possessed and commenced to try to cast demons out of me.
Okay,
but
so
I don't believe that Christ and Jesus can dwell. Jesus and the devil can dwell in the same body.
Okay,
they can oppress you, but they can't possess you.
But Renee, why is that? They tried to cast out demons. Why is that troublesome to you today? I mean, if there were demons, they would be cast out. So now we're dealing with reality.
And PTSD.
Yeah. So yeah. How can we help you? What is the question for us?
I need to make that connection. And even up here years later, I was going to a Bible study, and it happened again. 2006, I got, this was the fourth attempt to go to a church. And I was taking care of my daughter-in-law and a grandson I had raised for 5 years, and she went into a rage, and she threw me into a wall and cracked my hip.
Oh,
and I went to Bible study, and obviously, I've got this big shiner, and I'm pretty beaten up. And the gal that was doing it knew where I had gone, and she got scared, and she just shut down the group. And I never received a call.
Oh, gosh.
I never received anything from anybody.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Well, I am
that's
so
not how
sorry.
That's not how the body should function.
No, not at all. So, Renee, you know the problem, and I think the best thing that we could do is try to help you find a healthy church that is going to persevere with you no matter what, that has a women's group or a women's Bible study that would be a safe place for you.
Yeah, because I think what one of the things that you need to shift gears on is these things are PTSD now. You've done all of the research with spiritual oppression, and they found no evidence of that. So then it's the PTSD, and that's the language I would use. And if somebody, I don't think anybody's going to get upset with that like they would if you talk about demons oppressing you, because that's scary to some people, and they don't know what to do. They run, and that's what happened in your group. But I would find a church where you could talk about that experience and talk about your grandmother in terms of the honesty, but just be careful how you frame it. But you've got to frame it in your own mind that now this is I'm there are triggers that take me back, and they're not a demonic thing. They're the PTSD thing that triggers certain things that happen to me.
And regarding the PTSD, Renee, nowadays with Skype and phone, you can get, I know you said it's 3 hours to find somebody good. Now with Skype and phone, you can get somebody who's really good who can help to you resolve this on a clinical level too. So a good church and somebody good who can get the PTSD cured is the way to go.
Yeah. All right. Let me send you Healing is a Choice. Well, you've got Healing is a Choice. So let me send you a copy of How People Grow by John and Henry. Let's see if we can't get you to the workshop. We'll do whatever we can. But the main thing is to be sure that you got a strong counselor, a good church. So hang on there.
She's in Northern Cal. And
yeah.
We're going there in February.
Yeah, that's
or in
right.
April.
So. Yeah. So we'll try to do something, and maybe we'll connect with you personally in April when we're up that way. Well, you've been listening to New Life Live. We're glad that you do. We've got tv.newlife.com. If you did not get through to ask your question, you can ask us anything there. And boy, are people ever asking us anything. I thought that the questions that callers ask were complicated. And they're really complicated there because people have a...
Especially when they ask you a question and you answer it and they send another question because they did what you said. Now what?
It's an ongoing dialogue.
It's fascinating.
But anyway, please go there. Check out what we've got going. We love this great resource and have found that it is literally transforming lives with the truth. We have Healing is a Choice coming up. That's going to be April the 17th through the 19th. We would love for you to be there right alongside the Marriage Solution Weekend. And Every Man's Battle is March the 6th, and it is a great place for a man to get his sexual integrity act together. 48 hours, that's all it takes, I've never seen such dramatic results in such a small length of time. If you need help, call us. If you can help us, you call us, and it's the same number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And we're going to see you back here next time on New Life Live. Thank you, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.